How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Joined as we are every Sunday by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare up at WrestlingObserver.com. Tons of pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news to talk about today, as is the case every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 94 and 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, available on the Tapatalk, that's our forum software, TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. You can check out Wrestling Observer Live literally no matter where you are, anywhere in the world. You can always hear this show. It is our most listened to show. And if you love it, man, we got more stuff up at WrestlingObserver.com. But into the news today, tons of stuff to talk about, not the least of which is the second of 4 TNA pay-per-views that are going to be taking place every year. The TNA Lockdown Show is tonight. They've cut from 12 pay-per-views to 4. It's March. 2 of them are out of the way, only 2 left. We'll talk about the location of the third pay-per-view, and we'll go over the complete card for tonight's event. It is going to break the attendance record for the most attended TNA show in the company's history here in the United States, not breaking the international record, although it's close. Who knows how it'll end up by the end of the day, but we're going to talk about the Lockdown Show in detail here tonight, plus TNA television. WWE Raw on Monday, which is, of course, leading to the WrestleMania pay-per-view. We've got a lot of matches for WrestleMania so far. Some official, some not official, but officially they're official, if that makes sense. We'll talk about all of those matches, plus the death of Paul Bearer. Paul Bearer's death, a ripple through the pro wrestling industry, and a death that received a lot of press throughout the world. Nearly the same number of people read about the death of Paul Bearer on the LA Times website as read about the death of Randy Savage, which was a gigantic story at the time. We're going to talk about Paul Bearer, his life and times. I interviewed Paul Bearer several times for WrestlingObserver.com. Those shows are up in the archives. If you have a chance, head up there and check him out. He was a great guy. We'll talk about that and so much more. All coming up in a moment. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94 and 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet on our website, WrestlingObserver.com, also available on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. Check out Sports Byline USA on the TuneIn Radio app or search for Wrestling Observer, and you can listen to this show live every Sunday or archives of the shows. Archives also available up at WrestlingObserver.com. In addition, archives of every radio show that we have ever done dating back to 2005. A lot of stuff up there for subscribers. We got a lot of news to get into today. Starting off with the death of a great guy. Paul Bearer passed away several days ago. Suffered a blood clot over the weekend. He had been in poor health for a long time. Obviously, if you followed the story of Paul Bearer, morbidly obese for years. After he left WWE, they wanted him to come back. He was very bitter about WWE at the time, but they made a deal where they would offer him a signing bonus, which would pay for gastric bypass surgery. He got the surgery, lost tons of weight, came back, saved his life, he said. And Paul Bearer, in the last couple of years, his health had begun to decline again. His wife passed away. It was a very difficult time for Paul Bearer, but he was still out there. He was doing conventions. He was still doing the occasional indie show, and unfortunately suffered a blood clot at the Gulf Coast Wrestlers Reunion over the weekend, hospitalized, and unfortunately passed away. And Mike, what memories do you have of Percy Pringle, Paul Bearer?
Well, that was the first thing, was him being Percy Pringle. And the first time I saw him was in World Class, and he had Rick Rude. I think he may have had a couple other guys, but the only guy I really remember him with is Rick Rude, who was the America's champion at the time. And then that was around the time that World Class had pulled out of the NWA, so he became their first world champion. But, you know, he was just this overweight, obnoxious just prick of a manager, where it's, you know, he's sitting there and he'd be running his mouth, and he was just so over the top obnoxious with that southern accent and the high pitched voice and goofy laugh. You know, you talk about, you know, being born with a silver spoon. Yeah, he was a little bit heavy, but that's because food just tasted so much better off the silver spoon that was he was born with. And just like any kid growing up at that time too, and you have a chance to see so much different wrestling, it was always amazing to see a guy go to the WWF. You know, you watch Ted DiBiase for years, all of a sudden he's the million-dollar man. You watch Terry Taylor, all of a sudden he's the Red Rooster, where, yeah, at least they kind of looked the same. I know they would always change guys up, but when they brought Percy Pringle in to be with The Undertaker, that switch that flipped was just, it was unbelievable to watch this guy play this character with the black hair, and just, it was amazing, and it was just, I don't know. I can understand. You know, a lot of people were surprised at the reaction that Randy Savage's passing had. And it's the same way here with Paul Bearer. But, I mean, these characters were so ingrained into a lot of people's minds at a time where a lot of people were watching wrestling that it was a big deal. And he was able to pull off being the manager of The Undertaker perfectly, even though it was so comedically over the top. It didn't bother you watching it. It didn't stick out like a sore thumb or anything like that where you didn't want to see him. It just fit so perfectly. And it was such a, you know, a long-running character as well. I mean, you just got to give him credit. It was just, yeah, it's really sad to be this young to pass away. But it's, again, he leaves a lot of good memories, and it just amazing.
Yeah, he did several interviews actually on our website, and so many great stories. Such a nice guy and a very humble guy. As I mentioned, the mainstream press that wrote about the death of Paul Bearer, it's kind of astonishing. Like I imagine if Paul Bearer were still alive, let's say that perhaps I would have the opportunity to interview Paul Bearer today after he had passed away. If I had explained to him on the show all of the different outlets that had covered his passing, I mean, I think he would be baffled. He would be shocked. Just a humble guy. He was an Alabama guy. He loved it. He always wanted to live there. He always said he never forgot where he came from. I mean, he was a good guy, and we had great talks. And it's too bad he was scheduled to be given the Luthez Award at the Cauliflower Alley Banquet this year. He'd been going the last several years, and would have been a huge honor and a really big deal for him. And it's sad. The Cauliflower Alley Banquet is next month, and he's not going to be there, and it's going to be a really sad time for everybody. But the guy did a lot, and he was able to laugh about a lot of this stuff. I mean, if you remember, like, Kane and Edge, that absolutely horrific storyline. I mean, I don't know if he'd be the first to tell you, but he would not shy away from the fact that that storyline was very goofy, and it was. But that was kind of the charm of Paul Bearer. He became a kind of a he was a legendary figure, but also he was a legendary cartoon character in WWE. I mean, the facial expressions. I guess it sounds kind of weird to have to say this since he actually did pass away, but the guy died in storyline like 15 times. He was buried in cement. He was electrocuted. He was thrown off a scaffold. He fell off a ladder. I mean, that was the Paul Bearer gimmick there for the last decade or so. Paul Bearer would come back for a while. He would be killed. Then he would come back again. He would be killed. It was like a cartoon character. But he always found a way to come back. And, you know, I always figured that at the end of the day, he would make one last return, perhaps during Undertaker's retirement match, and the two of them would ride off into the sunset. But unfortunately, that's never going to happen. But he did more than his share of stuff in this wrestling business, and he had a hell of a memorable career.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've had a chance to talk to a lot of the guys who worked in the Gulf Coast from over the years. And, you know, unfortunately, he was not able to receive the award of the Cauliflower Alley Club. But at that Gulf Coast Wrestlers Reunion, where it's just wrestlers and people that have worked close, you know, no fans are, you know, involved in this. It's just those guys doing it. You know, he emceed that and got a chance to at least see all of those guys again. With the timing of his passing, at least he had a chance and those guys had a chance to talk to him. And his son, apparently, from what Les Thatcher said on his Wrestling Weekly show on the website this week, and he's there and he goes every year for obviously all the time that he spent in the area. His son was actually given in a like an up-and-comers wrestling award, so he got to see that. So, you know, obviously the timing of anyone's passing is very, very sad. But really for those guys, especially because there's so many of those guys are so much older who worked down in that Pensacola area and worked in the Gulf Coast area, it really was a – thankfully, they got a chance to see him, and he got a chance to see them before he passed.
When are you going to Cauliflower Alley, Mike?
Soon.
Soon as in next month?
Well,
you got time.
Not that soon, unfortunately. I can't do that, which, by the way, hopefully you've actually got your plane tickets ready to go. But it looks like I'll be going to WrestleMania next year, so that's good. But actually, even before I wanted to go to WrestleMania, as much as I wanted to notch that one off the bucket list, I've always really wanted to go to the Cauliflower Alley Club and join up and actually become a member of that, because that just seems, with those stories and the people you see and from what you and Dave have talked about from over the years, it just seems like a great, great place to sit back and to meet people and hear some incredible stories.
All right, we got to talk some wrestling news. If you want more on Paul Bearer, just search Paul Bearer on the internet, and you'll see all of the millions of stories that'll come up. And as well, if you're a subscriber, please check out the Paul Bearer interviews on the website. There's something else, and in fact, you don't even necessarily have to even go to the website. If you Google Paul Bearer interview, I'm sure there's plenty of audio and video interviews up. And if you're a fan that grew up and all you know is the character, and you never had a chance to listen to the stories that Percy Pringle, William Moody, the man had to tell, you should probably go up and listen to those, because he had a lot of great stories. And sometimes you, as a fan, get frustrated with things. You watch Raw, you watch Impact, you watch a pay-per-view, and you're kind of down on wrestling for a period of time. It's actually been very good of late, but these things happen. And go listen to a Paul Bearer interview, because that's a guy that, I mean, from probably before he could talk, he loved pro wrestling. And when you listen to him talk, it'll bring your love for wrestling back, at least the wrestling that you grew up with. We are going to head to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk TNA Lockdown, Wrestling Observer Live, here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for 2 hours every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94 and 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet, up at our website, WrestlingObserver.com. You can listen to us on the TuneIn Radio app anywhere in the world on your smartphone. Just search Sports Byline USA. Listen to the shows live. You can listen to it over your Bluetooth or with an attachment in your car on the way to wherever you go on a Sunday afternoon. Or check out the archives as well. Archives of every show we have ever done up at WrestlingObserver.com. And hopefully this 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern hasn't thrown you for a loop with daylight savings time here today. But we got plenty of stuff to talk about, including the TNA Lockdown pay-per-view. Moments after we go off the air. In fact, immediately, the TNA Lockdown pay-per-view is going to be taking place from Texas, the most attended TNA show in I guess it would be the United States, maybe North America. They've set a record, a North American record. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but a lot of people there tonight for the second of 4 pay-per-views a year. The main event of the show is Bully Ray against Jeff Hardy in a cage match. And before we get any further on any of the matches, Mike, I want your thoughts on the fact that TNA Lockdown, which since the beginning has always been an all cage matches pay-per-view, has now become a some cage matches pay-per-view. I, for one, am disappointed. I think that the idea of selling a show on all cage matches, it always, always worked for TNA. Some years obviously bigger than others, but it always worked. It was always one of their, either the first or second most purchased pay-per-view for the company. And I don't know why they messed with the formula. I'm disappointed that they did not learn from their success.
It's I'm 50-50 on it. Just because if I was never a fan of having that, because I think you book yourself into a corner, and unless you're going to make that the pinnacle show of the year, why would you want to see a Divas match in a cage? You know, why, you know, it, some of the, you know, obviously the special feeling that you get, or that you want to give off of a cage match, it goes away when everything is in a cage. But if you built it up to be the pinnacle part of your year, where you're going to be blowing things off and things like that, then I wouldn't think it's such a bad idea. So with that said, but obviously, like you said, it is one of their better drawing things. So, you know, why mess with the formula? I don't know. I'm fine with it being having the, you know, the War Games type of match and having a couple of other matches. I'm completely fine with it. But, you know, if it happens to tank, and they think the reason is because it wasn't because of being all cage matches, then yeah, I would the next year flip it back. But I don't think it's that big of a deal that it's not all cage matches, because again, it's not like it built up to being the pinnacle part of the year.
I just think, I look back to, I think we talked about this last week. I look back to last year's UFC over Memorial Day weekend, and it was built on all heavyweight matches. And it wasn't even like, it was the deepest card of the year or anything like that. But the tagline of all heavyweight matches, I just remember my friends were like, they couldn't wait for this show. It didn't even matter who was on the show. It was like, it was exciting that all the matches were heavyweight matches.
But I think that's a different situation though, Brian, because I think there's something ingrained in the American sporting mind anywhere where you think heavyweights, that's a big deal. I mean, I think we rely on it too much in boxing and in MMA where, you know, you should be able to market other guys, and MMA has proven you can do that. It's not just about heavyweights, whereas, you know, that's all people think about in America when it comes to boxing. But also when it comes to an all-heavyweight show, you know somebody's getting knocked the hell out. So that's why I think it works for that. I understand what you're saying, but I think the comparison is a little wrong just because of, I mean, look at TNA's pay-per-views.
Yeah, this lockdown, when it was all cage matches, was the first or second most purchased pay-per-view. Here's the thing. If you have an idea, and it doesn't matter in terms of buy rate whether you do it or not, then it's like, okay, well, it doesn't matter if you do it or not. But I don't know how many times I've told this story. When I used to wrestle for Tim Flowers, the biggest show of the year every year was Rage in the Cage. It was all cage matches. Like, it didn't matter who was on the card. But you put a poster out with all cage matches, and it drew a huge crowd. And for this, for example, you know, if you announce lockdown, all cage matches. For example here, Joe Park versus Joey Ryan. Does it matter whether that match is in a cage or not? I don't think so. Robbie E versus Robbie T. Does it make a difference if it's in a cage or not? Is one going to mean any less than the other? Probably not.
And as you say that, too, let me just interject here. I invite, after he says that, for everyone to go to Wikipedia and read the description of that match for tonight and make that decision.
Oh, no. Which one?
The one for Robbie E and Robbie T. For just some reason, I find this incredibly amusing.
Are you talking in December, Robbie E hosted a bro-off segment?
Yes.
Okay, I'll read this to everybody. We're going to get into the preview here. But my point stands. It doesn't remove one buy whether Joseph Park and Joey Ryan is in a cage or not. But I think being able to have the tagline, all cage matches, it's paid off every time TNA has done it. It's paid off every time I've ever seen it done elsewhere. So why you would take that tagline off the show is just, it's completely baffling to me. But that's my speech. All right. Robbie E versus Robbie T. I believe that's the opener. Actually, I don't know what the opener is, but that's the bottom match here on the Wikipedia lineup, so I'm starting with that. In December, it reads, Robbie E hosted a bro-off segment where he contended with his ally, Robbie T, and Jesse Godders in a dance-off, which, to much surprise, was won by Robbie T after upstaging all performances. Several weeks later, during the TNA's tour of the UK, Robbie E labeled the people of the UK as hamsters among the presence of Robbie T, who was made exception for, but is from the continent. I'm reading this, by the way, exactly as it's written. I'm not screwing this up. After after Robbie E criticized new UK hire Rockstar Spud and appeared bossy to the bigger Robbie T in his defense, a situation was created where Robbie T bent down to retrieve his dropped clipboard, allowing Spud to attack Robbie E on the spot and shortly celebrated with him after. This later set up a match that saw Spud upset Robbie E for a win in his first match in TNA. Robbie E then crossed the line with Robbie T by slapping him across the face, which only infuriated Robbie T. Robbie E would soon apologize and propose having another bro-off, where during Robbie T's routine, Robbie E took the chance to smash Robbie T with a large portrait, effectively ending their friendship. Who wrote that? That is an ungodly poorly written piece of something. I don't even know what.
It is, and it's just when you see how absolutely ridiculous all of that is, not the least of which is the name Rockstar Spud, and I know he's a small guy and everything, but I don't know. Something so screams, so minor league about Rockstar Spud, it's not even funny. But then again, reading that paragraph, it fits in perfectly.
I love that last sentence. It's so poorly written. Let me read it one more time. Robbie E would soon apologize and propose having another bro-off, where during Robbie T's routine, Robbie E took the chance to smash Robbie T with a large portrait, effectively ending their friendship. That sounds like Robbie E's proposal was, let's have another bro-off, where during your routine, I will take the chance to smash you with a large portrait, effectively ending our friendship.
I'm very disappointed it didn't actually, you know, say what was on the portrait, which was a picture of Robbie E.
Well, of course. That should go without saying. What else would he have a portrait of? Lincoln?
We should have said self-portrait then.
You're right.
What are standards and practices with Wikipedia?
I should re-edit that here on the air and see what happens. I don't have time. All right, who do you think is going to win, Robbie E and Robbie T?
I would think Robbie T.
Oh, this feud must not continue?
I don't think so. I think you can wrap this sucker up now, and I don't know. And I'm not proposing that you do this. But I, you know, have him and Matt Morgan slam into each other or something. I don't know what you could do, but I'm not sure if I want to see this one continue. And I got to be honest, if you chuck your brain, I actually was amused by a lot of the Robbie T stuff. I mean, I really actually was. When he would come out and put the hand up to block the camera, I got to admit, I giggled every time at that. But with that said, I think both of these guys should probably move on to something else.
Added to the show, which I was unaware of until I visited Wikipedia. So for all I know, this could also be an edit, which is untrue, but I presume it's the case. Joe Park against Joe Ryan in a singles match.
Did you hear Joe Park sing My Way?
I saw that.
That was awesome.
New career.
Multi-talented.
That is undoubtedly true. This man is multi-talented. Who would have ever thought that Abyss would be so talented?
That's the thing. I beg that dude. You know, it's just like, you know, it pained me to watch Abyss matches because, you know, he was very good at what he did, but he got more and more as it went along there with him getting slapped around by Stevie Richards or slicing himself open. Just all the ridiculous stuff. To see him as Joseph Park now, I am completely fine if we only see the Abyss character maybe crawl out once a year or something like that. I think he, in a way, he's the most improved character of, you know, the last couple of years. For whatever you think about Joe Park, as far as for his, you know, safety and livelihood and, you know, continuation of career, I think this is a good thing. And if it is against Joey Ryan, I've got to figure, I don't know what Joey Ryan's going to do, but I'm sure he's going to insult him in some sort of way where Joe Park just absolutely goes ham and kills Joey Ryan, which, who knows, maybe that'll lead to Matt Morgan or Matt Morgan and Joey Ryan still tied up together.
I don't think so, but I can't remember. I haven't seen Joey Wright on TV for so long that I can't even remember what that storyline is.
I wonder if he'll steal Al Snow's smoking jacket.
Let's visit Wikipedia and find out what they've written about Joey Ryan here before we head to a break. Let's see if they know what the hell's going on with this storyline. Ryan and Morgan challenged Guerrero and Hernandez on January 13th at Genesis, but were again unsuccessful in winning the titles. That's all it says. So perhaps they are still together. I don't know. Perhaps... Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. When we come back, everybody, we'll move on to stuff I do know something about, which is the rest of the lockdown card. We've got six more matches to talk about and preview. So head back here, everybody, and we'll talk about them. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can check us out, Sirius Channel 794 as well. I was told by a buddy of mine that sometimes the show is preempted on 94, but it's never preempted on 794. So if you have Sirius 794, that is the place to go for the show. Tune in radio app as well on your smartphone. It's a on some phones it's a free download. On some show on some phones it's $2.95 or $4.95. One time only fee to download it. But if you love the show, it is a small price to pay to listen to it forever. So sign up there. Sign up. I don't know how you get that thing. Get the TuneIn Radio app and search Sports Byline USA, search Wrestling Observer. Show's up there and archives as well. Archives up on the website as well. And as I've noted many times, if you love this program, you should sign up to WrestlingObserver.com. $10.99 a month. That is the subscription fee. For that price, you get access to everything. Every show that we've ever done, dating back to 2005, is up there on the website. And by every show, I don't mean one show a week. I mean 10 to 15 shows every single week over the course of 8 years, all available on the website. There are thousands and thousands of shows up there. If you go to my Twitter, I just retweeted somebody's comment that signed up and started to go through everything and is in love with the website. As I've said many times, if you like this show, I guarantee you'll love the website. And you could do a one-time sign-up of $10.99, give it a shot. If you don't like it, never have to sign up again. But most people, when they sign up, they, like this fella on Twitter, fall in love with it. And they sign up and get all of the new shows. We got a new show tonight with Dave Meltzer. We're going to have a new show tomorrow night after Raw with Dave Meltzer. We've got a show with Pat LaPrade up talking Montreal wrestling tomorrow. So many shows. I do usually one show in the morning, one show at night, every single day. Weekends, kind of a slower schedule, unless, of course, there's a UFC show like there is next weekend, which we'll talk about later. But no shortage of wrestling audio, so head up there and check it out. Check out the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare with Mike Sempervivi as well. We got tons of shows up on the website. Not just shows involving myself, but tons of shows from various contributors. So check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. And as noted, later on tonight, when you sign up, you can listen to me and Dave talk all of the fallout from the show we're going over right now, the TNA Lockdown pay-per-view. And Mike, your thoughts on Kenny King, Zema Ion, and Christian York, which is a three-way triple threat, whatever you want to call it, match for the X Division title that's taking place tonight. I guess it was added this weekend as well. What are your thoughts on this match?
I think there's going to be a lot of dudes flying around and hopefully hitting everything, although with Zema Ion and Kenny King sometimes, I don't know so much. But I guess you got to do something. I mean, they didn't really get a chance to build with it. Kenny King just took the title away from RVD. It's now 2 weeks ago now. So I don't see anything dramatic. It seems like they just, it's not a bad thing. Put the match on there just to have a match, and it's probably going to be early on the show or something like that, because all three of those guys flying around should fire up the crowd pretty good. So I think no matter what, Kenny King walks out of it as X Division champion still.
I went to the official TNA website, by the way, as a reporter here, and can confirm that, in fact, all of these matches are scheduled for the show. Nobody made them up. That is a real match. Kenny King, Christian York, and Zema Ion.
And again, Brian, this is the thing. If they don't lose anything when it comes to buy rate, when it comes to this show, that's the whole reason that I think not having a booking yourself into a corner with a whole line of cage matches is actually, believe it or not, a good idea. And I feel the same way about, Elimination Chamber and lots of other things where, I mean, that's a good one because that's set right between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. But they, WWE does this all the time, too. You have it with Ryback and CM Punk where you have the stip before you have the match. And, again, I know you're selling, little versions of these to, Mattel, replicas of these cages and things like that. And there's lots of other stuff to go into it, but I think you still have to be careful about doing things like that.
We've also got a very interesting match for a lot of reasons. Austin Aries and Bobby Roode defending the tag team titles against Chris Daniels and Kazarian and Chavo and Hernandez. Now, why is this interesting? Well, first off, you got the two best teams in the world, Daniels and Kazarian against Austin Aries and Bobby Roode, at least in the U.S., battling each other. And you've also got Chavo and Hernandez, and I prefer a tag match, but you take what you can get in TNA sometimes. But will Bobby Roode be there? Bobby Roode is in the middle of contractual issues with TNA. And according to one source, those contractual issues are that his contract expired and nobody noticed. Now, Mike, did you just faint?
I didn't. I don't know what, but my son may have thrown something against the wall there. Maybe he actually heard you through the phone.
I see.
He's very upset about the news about Bobby Roode, but I'm not sure.
Yes, one source stated that his contract expired. He did not renew. I could not confirm that with TNA. I do know, I can't confirm there is an issue. They may just be trying to not let word get out that, in fact, his contract expired and nobody noticed, because they would look absolutely beyond incompetent if that happened. I guess we'll find out. I had been given the impression a couple of months ago that Bobby Roode actually had a pretty long-term contract, and that would indicate that, in fact, his contract didn't expire. But again, I guess we shall see. But I don't know if he's going to be there. I don't know if they're going to have to give him actually, hold on a second. Literally just got word that Bobby Roode's contract apparently did expire, and nobody realized it. So
this is not a work story.
No, this is true. I just got that right now.
Insanity. And I know somebody's going to bring up, well, it happened with Jim Ross and Jeff Jarrett. Well, if just for that reason alone that it ever happened again, much less in 2013, you know, all of these years later, and the fact that you're supposed to be, you know, I don't understand this in any business, let alone in wrestling. That is absolutely ridiculous when he's one of your biggest stars and half of your tag champions, which that doesn't really mean anything, frankly, you know, as far as the overall thing of, how do you not have one of your key guys, one of the few young guys that you actually have? Why is he not bound up, and how do you not realize this?
You're asking me?
I'm just putting it out there.
I have no idea. I'm baffled.
TNA, somebody explain that one to me, please.
I'm absolutely baffled. I guess we shall find out what happens tonight, but looks like, I mean, they could re-sign him tonight. That's possible. But, you know, if I were Bobby Roode, would I want to stay in TNA, or would I want to try and go to WWE? I'd at least try and find out if I could go to WWE. So, I don't know. I'm in awe. So, I guess for our preview, I don't know what the hell's going to happen. I don't know if he's going to be there. I don't know if maybe they can give him, you know, I doubt they're going to give him the $195,000 or whatever that they gave Jeff Jarrett to come back and drop the Intercontinental title to China. But maybe they'll give him some money to just come back, drop the title, get beat up, and that's the end of him. We'll find out tonight, but that's obviously a big story. So there you go.
Maybe
I'm going to try and do more investigations as we're live here on the air. So we'll just continue on. And
it doesn't hurt. It does not hurt the pay-per-view to actually have something like this happen. And if you can get something worked out with them, because I'm sure people are going to order, you know, it may not be tons of them, but a handful will order just that know about this. They may want to see, because they're hoping for a train wreck or wanting to see something happen. And at least it's a three-way that's got Daniels and Kazarian in it, and obviously Austin Aries can talk his ass off. So even though long-term it would be bad if Bobby Roode held him up for a while, or Bobby Roode is actually going to, you know, take his option out and leave and not work tonight, at least you can have some coverage there with Aries and the fact that Daniels and Kazarian are so good. Again, long-term it still hurts, but at least, you know, you don't have him in some other situation.
All right, so I'm going to try and update throughout the show as I get more information, but that's the story on Bobby Roode thus far. Velvet Sky and Gail Kim for the Knockouts title. I would expect Velvet Sky to retain. I suppose anything's possible. Quite frankly, it doesn't really matter all that much. But that is the Women's Championship match. Should be all right. What do you think?
Taryn going to referee?
God, I presume so.
Let's hope so. At least I can hope so. I think Velvet Sky, she's just got the belt back. No point in beating her here. I think that will make everybody happy if Velvet Sky wins. So going Velvet.
Kurt Angle
and happy. Is Ed in San Antonio going to the show?
I don't know. I would think he would.
Hmm.
Think he would. Maybe he can replace Bobby Roode. He is a rude man.
This is true.
What do you think about that one, huh?
He's tall. He could do it.
All right, we got Kurt Angle and Wes Briscoe in a cage. Not feeling it. You know what I mean? They turned Wes. It was kind of a big angle, and then it just sort of is like, I don't know. It feels like they really have dropped the ball on it, if there even was a ball to be dropped. It's just like, why is it in a cage now? I mean, if you're doing the gimmick where some matches are cage matches and some matches are not, why is this one in the cage? You know, I'm not feeling this one. I don't know about you.
I mean, kind of the same way. I think their shot should have been more, you know, because it was mentioned, but I mean, the vengeance of Kurt Angle to be turned on by, you know, a guy's son that, you know, he really respects, and Jerry Briscoe and that whole, and, you know, to really, like, all right, welcome to the business kid type of thing of not only are you going to face me, it's going to be in this cage, and then, you know, let's go. And they didn't do a good job getting that across, and I got to be real honest, I'm surprised. I don't know which character is closer to the personality and the life of Wes Briscoe, but him with the slick back hair, to me, he was more comfortable that way, was a better promo, and actually, to me, I know they were doing the thing with Aces and Eights, but he just seemed to come out, I don't know if it's project better or what the right terminology would be for me, but he was actually much better in the slick back type of role than he is doing what he's doing now, and I think that's kind of hurt it, too.
His hair is astonishing, Wes Briscoe.
That is, yes, he's got some interesting hair. And the presence is different. Remember when he was talking with Kurt Angle and talking with Garrett Bischoff, he at least stood his own looks-wise when he would, you know, do that stuff with him before he turned. And now when he's just standing out there as a member of Aces and Eights, I mean, I don't want to say lost too much ground, because I'm sure this match is actually going to be really good as long as, you know, Wes can listen. You know, Kurt Angle, should be actually a surprise, probably the sleeper match of the night. But I think he has actually lost something going into it.
I don't know if this is going to be the sleeper match of the night. I actually don't have that much faith in Kurt. I got a lot of faith in Kurt, but not that much. I think Jeff Hardy and Bully Ray actually will probably be the sleeper match of the night. But as far as like Wes Briscoe and Kurt Angle, when they shot the TV and they shot the angle and they announced it's going to be Angle and Briscoe in a cage at Lockdown. At the time, I was like, oh, yeah? Huh. Well, let's see how they get to that. And it was like they didn't. They shot the angle. They've done a couple of interviews and a couple of little angles on TV. But it just, I mean, a lot of times they draw out their storylines and they do a lot of long-term storyline work. This was not one of them. This just felt like, I don't know. I don't care one bit about this match, and it doesn't feel like it needs to be on the show or a cage match. But I don't know. Maybe it's just me. When we come back from the break, we've got the world title match to talk about, as well as the Lockdown match, War Games, Team TNA versus the Aces and Eights. So we'll get into that when we come back. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday at 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Moments after the show goes off the air, it is the TNA Lockdown pay-per-view. We spent the last hour talking the matches on that pay-per-view, as well as the passing of Percy Pringle, Paul Bearer, William Moody, I expect there to be a graphic for him on the show tonight. I know they had one on Impact on Thursday, which was very nice. And before we get into the final two matches on the show, since we've got a brief segment here, and we've got a brief segment when we come back from the top of the hour break, we will discuss some other aspects of the lockdown show and TNA in general. The first being, Mike, your predictions for this show. Let's say that your average show is doing 12,000. Let's say your average lockdown is doing 16,000. The fact that TNA is only doing four shows a year, the fact that it's been two full months since the last show, how do you see TNA pay-per-views doing from this point forward? Are they going to remain in the 12,000 range? Are they going to drop to the old 8,000 range, particularly if Jeff Hardy is no longer headlining? Will the gap between shows increase the buy rate? What do you think?
I'll split the middle right now and just say it's going to be in the middle of their highest and lowest. What they do, it'll be right in the middle, because they have not done a good job making this thing special. And you talk about the thing with Kurt Angle and Bully Ray. Just how that whole thing went out with Kurt Angle and D-Von, you know, kind of for as many good things as TNA does, they don't do planning. You know, some of their planning is not done very well, and I don't think they've done a good job driving home the point. There's only four of these. There's only four pay-per-views. They all mean something, and you can see how they built up to this. I mean, yeah, technically, in their minds, it does mean something with Lethal Lockdown, but they have not done a good job at all getting there.
All right, everybody, we're going to head to a break. When we come back, more on the Lockdown pay-per-view, and we have a ton of pro wrestling and mixed martial arts to get into, so that's coming up after our hourly break. Stick by that dial. Back in 7 minutes, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Also available Sirius XM 794, the TuneIn radio app on your smartphone. Search Sports Byline USA or Wrestling Observer, the TuneIn radio app, and you can listen to this show at any time, including archives. So check that out. We're joined, as always, by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, also up at our website, WrestlingObserver.com. And, of course, you can check us out on Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. That's me, at Sempervivi. That's Sempervivi. So check us out there on Twitter as well. We have a lot to talk about today. We spent the first hour going over the TNA lockdown pay-per-view, which takes place tonight. The main event is going to be Bully Ray versus Jeff Hardy for the TNA World Heavyweight title. Also, a Lethal Lockdown match with Team Aces and Eights against Team TNA. If you watched Impact this past Thursday night, there was a series of matches, and shockingly, and honest to God, in TNA, at least over the course of their existence, this is a shock, the bad guys won and get the man advantage in Lethal Lockdown. There have been a couple of instances where Vince Russo booked it so the good guys had the advantage. Didn't work. What a shock. But tonight they're doing it right. Bad guys in the cage first. Good guys in the cage second. It'll be a man disadvantage for the babyfaces throughout the entire match. And Mike, we're going to do a full preview after the break, but are you excited for Lethal Lockdown? Are you a War Games fan?
I was always a War Games fan. I'm not as big of a fan as of Lethal Lockdown, but a lot of that reasoning is because of what you just said, which was Vince Russo was involved in it sometimes and didn't work out the way it really should have been. But, yeah, I'm actually a fan of the concept, but I am happy WWE hasn't brought it back, because if you're going to do that one, it does mean a lot to a lot of older fans, and even though that may not matter, it's a very good stipulation and really good when you're building up and blowing off a bunch of things at once or having one big feud go on between two groups.
Back in a moment to discuss this match, Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here to talk the TNA Lockdown pay-per-view. We are here every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 94 and 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet on our website, WrestlingObserver.com, as well as the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone, the TuneIn Radio app. Search Sports Byline USA or Wrestling Observer. You can always check out the show. And we're talking the top matches for the TNA Lockdown pay-per-view. The show goes on the air moments after this show goes off the air. What a coincidence. What an easy day for all of you. Go from one wrestling show to another. The first three quarters of the show, we reviewed in hour one. Now we are at the main events. Team TNA versus Ace and Eights. It is Sting, Magnus, Samoa Joe, James Storm, and yes, Eric Young against D-Von, Mr. Anderson, Mike Knox, Doc, and Garrett Bischoff. No D-Lo Brown, even though he was revealed as the VP of Aces and Eights on Impact this past Thursday night. Yes, D-Lo Brown. Main event is also Jeff Hardy versus Bully Ray. We're going to preview both those matches. Mike, my thoughts are that Team TNA is going to come out victorious in this Lethal Lockdown match. Everything will look great in TNA until Bully Ray turns heel, wins the title, and Aces and Eights is back on top of the world. What do you think?
You know, I believe in that one, too. I think Team TNA is going to win tonight, and I think the same thing. Bully Ray is actually going to turn on TNA. I just kind of hope they don't do it yet. I'm kind of enjoying, because I like Bully Ray anyway, but this now the really extra slimy good guy, the I don't know if I should really be in this match guy. Like that one, I can take that for another couple of weeks. Maybe, well, I guess, you know, you can't build it up to the next pay-per-view. But their TV, you know, means a lot to them. And I'm fine with Bully Ray maybe doing something heelish here to get the win. But ultimately, at the end of the day, they draw this out for a little bit longer because he is very good at what he's doing now. And you know, he's him as champion, that's the way it should be. As well, too, even though Jeff Hardy, you know, on top has been a proven commodity for them. I don't think Bully Ray is going to be that much of a drop-off, to be honest, because he is so good right now, and he's got, you know, been on such a roll and had such momentum. You know, him as champion, I think, is the right thing. Him as champion as a thorn still in Hulk's side while he deals with TNA and in Sting's side, maybe, or something like that. Or growing to be a thorn in Sting's side and to other guys, I think that's probably the best way to go. Him, being so patronizing and just being so slimy, I think has been really, really good.
Well, they could. I mean, it wouldn't be the last time that TNA shot an angle on television as opposed to pay per view. I mean, he could win the title tonight and then turn heel on Impact.
That was always one of the jokes, too. I mean, their pay-per-views built up to their Thursday TV. It's like, well, what's the point of ordering the pay-per-view? But then again, I guess with only four, maybe they have switched philosophies.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, I heard a million excuses for why pay-per-views didn't work, and the answer was right in front of their face. You put all of your hard work into television. Everything pays off on TV. Almost nothing pays off on pay-per-view. So it doesn't matter if you cut to four pay-per-views or one pay-per-view. I mean, if TV is still if pay-per-view is still not your bread and butter, you know, why are people going to pay? Why would people pay $44.95 for this show if they know that they're actually going to get the payoff on the free show? I mean, they won't. That's why you get 8,000 buys. I mean, think about this. I don't want to get on a big rant here, but too late. You got 1.5 million people watching your television show, and until Jeff Hardy won the title, about 8,000 or 9,000 bought your pay-per-view. 1.5 million viewers, and you talked 8,000 of them into buying your pay-per-views. What does that tell you? Meanwhile, UFC and WWE both have X number of television viewers, and the percentage of people that they can convince to buy their shows. UFC has the highest percentage of all. WWE is in second place, and TNA is a deep, deep third place. WWE and UFC both did bigger numbers in 2012 on pay-per-view than 2011. Their pay-per-view business went up in 2012. So how can you call this a dying business? That's an excuse. It is an excuse for not understanding why people pay money for something. If you pay off everything on pay-per-view, then people will buy your pay-per-views. If the pay-per-view is an advertisement for free TV, people stop buying your pay-per-views. That's the story. So to me, beat the Aces and Eights in the cage match. Bully Ray wins a title and turns heel here. And you establish to people that, hey, everybody, big stuff happens on pay-per-view. So buy the next show. I guess we'll see if they do that.
And again, this, you know, a different regime in from, you know, before where you have Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle doing the best pay-per-view numbers that they had ever done. And then that gets, you know, dropped and left alone, you know, and they tried to come back with it a third time, and it didn't work because they didn't take advantage of it the first time or the first two times. So, yeah, hopefully that philosophy has changed, and hopefully that those thoughts have changed, because again, to keep making the same mistakes, because I think we did the percentages one time on this show, and it was like what, 0.04% of the people, that's how many of their regular fans turn over to watching, to ordering the pay-per-views. I mean, it's ridiculous. Again, especially with the numbers that you named, plus even in boxing that's supposed to be, you know, dead. You always have Floyd Mayweather Jr., you have Manny Pacquiao, you have Canelo Alvarez, you have, you know, even Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. just being on a show is going to be, you know, upwards of 100,000 people ordering that show. And TNA's got 8. You know, many a time when they're drawing, you know, 1.5 million eyeballs, it's just something that's got to change.
All right. The Bully Ray, Jeff Hardy, let's just say that Bully Ray wins. Let's say that he joins the Aces and Eights. Now, Aces and Eights have beat up Bully Ray countless times. How do you explain this, Mike, if you were given the book?
That's how crazy he is. You can go back to him being crazy when he was, you know, this character was starting to really pick up steam and get better and better, where he was just this, you know, badass Bully Ray. Just, he's insane. I'll kill you. I don't care about anything. And that's how crazy he is. That's how much dedication he has to the group. That's the kind of, you know, beating that he had to take being inducted into Aces and Eights. That's what he would do, sacrifice himself for the greater good of the group. And he went through all those beatings. He got put, you know, he had it put on him. And you know what? He needed a little of that. In fact, he liked getting punched in the face a few times, because if you had to make out with Hulk's daughter, you'd want to get punched in the face too. If you had to hang out with her and hear her talk, you'd want to get punched in the face too. And that's the dedication he has to destroying Hulkamania, to destroying TNA, and putting Aces and Eights on top where they absolutely should be.
Yeah, I think that if he comes out and explains that Aces and Eights, we want to take over and we want this title, and Hulk Hogan was never going to give any of us a title shot, ever. And he would never have given me a shot. He would never have given any of these guys a shot. But I worked my way into a shot. I worked my way in. I did what I had to do. I took a beating. I took many beatings, but at the end of the day, all of those beatings were worth it. You got to also point out that how many of the guys in Ace and Eights took a beating as they were hazed into the group? I mean, you can make all of this make sense. I have no problem. Some people were pointing out that, oh, you can't have Bully Ray and Ace and Eights. It makes no sense. They've beaten him up. They've done this. They've done that. You can make this make sense. This is a diabolical gang of villains. You know, Bully Ray, he can make sense, especially Bully Ray, because he's a really smart guy. He can make sense of this whole angle and point out that how long has he been in this business? How many chances did he get at a world title? How many, after all of these years in this business, nobody ever thought that Bully Ray was going to be a world champion, but he is now. And every single beating he took was worth it to get this title and to be the king of TNA. I mean, it's a very easy story that you can make sense of, far more than most of the storylines they've done in TNA. And I hope that's the direction they go. I mean, they need something for it. I mean, D-Von as the mouthpiece didn't work. D-Lo, it ain't going to work. Bully Ray, they can make this work to a degree. So I guess we'll see if they do that tonight. Back in just a moment, everybody. We got a lot of news to get into, so hold on. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for 2 hours every Sunday on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 94 and 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And, of course, WrestlingObserver.com, the place to go for all the latest news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. We got a lot of news to get into today. No time to waste. Before we do, Mike, any final thoughts on the lockdown show, which goes on the air moments after this show ends?
Nope, just going to be, at least we know it will be a newsworthy show, even if it's for the wrong reason. Say Eric Young turning again or something.
Oh, God,
like
no.
That. Talk about something left over from the Russo days, but... you know, with the Bobby Roode thing with Hardy and Bully Ray, you know, again, they didn't do a very good job building to it. But there are, again, there are a couple of good things. And here, that the only reason I don't think Hardy and Bully Ray could be the sleeper match on the show is because I think it's going to be the best match by far on the show. I mean, if Aries and Roode were only facing off against Daniels and Kazarian, then I think that, of course, hands down is going to be the best match on the show. But with the when you have Chavo and Hernandez and it's a three-way, and obviously now you get the situation with Bobby Roode, you know, Hardy and Bully Ray should by far be the best thing on there. I'm just hoping that the Lethal Lockdown match, again, kind of goes like we're saying, Team TNA wins. It's, you know, the what you're supposed to do, the right thing to do is to continue on with the story. And it's not like it's going to hurt Aces and Eights or hurt your you know, awesome heel faction or anything like that, because they're not exactly hot anyway, as you mentioned. But I had, you know, with the thoughts of maybe Bully Ray joining them, at least you can do something with that. So if nothing else, it should be a newsworthy show.
All right, we got a lot of news to get into today. Don't forget, later on tonight, Dave Meltzer and myself will be up with a brand new radio show only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. We'll talk about all of the results of the TNA Lockdown pay-per-view, all of the news from the weekend, preview Raw Monday night. We've got so much stuff, so that is coming up later on this evening. And the Raw show this past Monday night, we have more matches scheduled for the WrestleMania pay-per-view. Obviously, the big matches have been set for a while. Your Rock versus John Cena, and your Brock Lesnar, and that sort of thing. All of those have been announced, but now we have more. We've got Rock Cena, obviously. We've got Triple H versus Brock Lesnar. We've got The Undertaker versus CM Punk. We've got the Ryback versus Mark Henry. We've got Alberto Del Rio versus Jack Swagger. That's five big matches for the show thus far. And let's talk about them. First off, Rock versus Cena. I presume that you, like everybody else in the entire world, is expecting Cena to get his win back and win the title, unless something has changed in your mindset.
No, not really at all. Again, I know that it's probably going to get booed out of the building. You know, when it happens, it'll be 80,000 angry. I know there's people from all over the place, but it's the hardest of the hardcore crowds, and much less being in the New York metropolitan area. You know, Cena's going to get booed out of the building, and I don't know how they're going to get away from that, if they even bother to get away from that. Maybe they don't have to. Maybe the reaction won't be as bad as I think it is. But, no, I mean, it makes perfect sense. It really does, if Cena wins here. And I know there's people that would want some sort of swerve, and there's still probably people that are upset it's not CM Punk, you know, in the match. So I go ahead and still take Cena. Again, I just don't see any reason why you wouldn't.
We've also got Alberto Del Rio and Jack Swagger, as noted for a while now on our various shows. No fallout for Jack Swagger's DUI arrest. I have figured for a while that he wins the title from Del Rio and they do a long-term feud. WrestleMania, however, is also the show where the happy ending takes place in a lot of different ways. They could have Alberto Del Rio retain the title at Mania and then lose the title to Swagger in a rematch. I know that they're tentatively planning a submission match for Extreme Rules. That could actually also indicate that Jack Swagger wins at WrestleMania and then Alberto submits him to win the title back at Extreme Rules. I kind of thought it would be a longer term deal if Swagger won, but maybe they feel they can get a month out of it and then people will stop caring. What are your thoughts on that particular feud?
I don't know. I mean, I like Jack Swagger and I like Dutch Mantel, but I don't think this thing is really resonating with people, although I could be wrong. I mean, I would almost be willing to go very kid gloves with this into it and just see how the reaction is, because I don't know if you want to go any further than WrestleMania with this. I mean, there's ways to get out of it by making it a submission match, or make it a loser leaves town match, or make it a Ricardo versus Dutch on the line match, where, you know, or something like that, where I'm surprised that they're going this far with it, even though I know Vince loves it and they have gotten some mainstream publicity out of the deal. I don't know if this is really going to be able to go past Mania with anybody really even caring, even though they go in that swoon period anyway, usually after that too. So I don't know. I mean, I guess if you really wanted to put a happy ending on it, depending on what you're going to do with Dolph Ziggler, at least you know he's going to get cheered in New York. And him, you know, waffling either one of those guys with the briefcase and taking the title could be a way out of it too.
The Undertaker versus CM Punk is official. And I don't see CM Punk breaking the streak. I suppose anything's possible. I guess the two questions for you, Mike, are A, do you see CM Punk breaking the streak? And B, if the answer is no, I do not see CM Punk breaking the streak, do you feel there is any way WWE can convince anyone in the world that CM Punk could break the Undertaker streak?
No and no. Although, if you're just aiming it at the Saturday Morning Slam fans, and to you know, kids under a certain age, you can make them believe anything, and I guess maybe you can make enough people believe it where you don't feel all that bad about putting it out there, even though, you know, most people know the real answer. It would be a hell of a thing if Punk broke Undertaker's streak, and I think that would, I don't know what it would mean, but I would feel if it's, you know, if you're CM Punk, I mean, what an incredible honor, you know, to happen if that's the case. But realistically, why would The Undertaker lose at WrestleMania? Why would he lose to CM Punk, especially because it was a flash-built thing to get to it? I don't know. It doesn't really matter, though. Does it really matter if The Undertaker streaks on the line anymore? I think as long as people see him once a year, for as long as he can do it, they're completely fine with him, you know, doing that. If he ever gets in a position where he can really work for three months, but want to appear for 3 months, maybe from Royal Rumble leading up to WrestleMania, if he chooses to do that again, you have enough time to build up something against him, you know, a Barrett maybe next year with an excuse, or a Brock Lesnar or somebody like that. Sting, I don't know, maybe you sign him or something like that, where, you know, you could do something like that, but it would just take too much time, especially at the end of the day, where you could basically throw Barry Horowitz or Steve Lombardi in there. As long as people get to see the Undertaker entrance, get to see him drop somebody, you know, not obviously drop them on his head, but to tombstone them and get the win and to get the big outro, I think that's all people really can really want at this point and can really ask for out of him.
Here's a potentially dreadful thought. Does the real-life death of Paul Bearer play into this storyline?
Let me preface any of this. It's like Jerry Lawler's mother. It's like a lot of other things. Would Bill Moody be okay with that? I tend to think yes. So putting that into, you know, taking that into consideration, you could do something, you know, and have CM Punk make a crack, have Paul Heyman make a crack, because, I mean, you know, I think if I recall correctly, you know, they all three of them have spoken relatively highly of each other. So you could have those guys and be able to pull it off. Would it be in great taste? No. Do you have to do it? No. So why do it? But you could. I guess you really could. And again, would Paul Bearer be okay with that? Honestly, I would actually have to say yes.
Well, it is kind of an interesting situation because Paul Bearer was part of the Undertaker's act forever. And it's not like nobody in WWE doesn't know that Paul Bearer died. And there's obviously there's a video package that's going to be playing on Raw, I presume. I know they played one on SmackDown. And there's also talk of putting Paul into the WWE Hall of Fame this year. So the Paul Bearer character, it's not going to be, it's all over WWE. It's going to be all over the television in some form or fashion. And it's almost, I don't know how to do it, but it's almost like how do you not do it? You know what I mean? Like how is that not part of the storyline? I mean, it's just a weird situation. And what do you say if you say something? I mean, I suppose Punk could just come out and say, you know, my condolences on the loss of your father or whatever Paul Bearer was to The Undertaker. I still, to this day, I'm not actually sure. Your father-in-law, your brother's father, whatever. But I'm still going to kick your ass at WrestleMania and end the streak. Maybe you could just do something simple like that. But it's kind of like it would be, I don't know. It'd be weird to acknowledge it, and it would kind of be weird to not acknowledge it. Maybe it would be less weird to acknowledge it and just a simple get it out of the way and move on. But, yeah, I mean, I don't watch Dallas, but I know that J.R. Ewing was in the first season, and he died for real. And they turned it into a storyline. So I guess we'll see what happens on Monday.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, they have the thing of, you know, and WWE would say this too about characters. Well, they're playing characters, and, you know, because obviously J.R. Ewing is still going to be talked about as a, you know, egomaniacal prick, or, you know, again, I'm not a Dallas fan either, or at least haven't had a chance to watch it since the original series, but, you know, they're going to talk him down. I don't think WWE, you know, wrestling can't do that just because of the way it is and how it's started. They can't do that. But, yeah, I guess it is going to be interesting. I wonder what this means for Kane. Do they even bring it up as it relates to Kane and his storyline?
I don't know. I mean, I think technically Paul Bearer is Kane's father, but not Undertaker's father. I could be wrong. You can email me if you want, but I don't think it really matters. All right, everybody, we are going to head to a break. When we come back, we've got plenty more to discuss. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can always head to WrestlingObserver.com for the latest news and info in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, daily news updates. All of the breaking news is always up there, as well as daily radio shows. My goal, Monday through Friday at least, is 2 radio shows a day, 1 in the morning, 1 in the evening. Sometimes there's more, sometimes there's less. But we do the best we can. And obviously shows on the weekends as well after the major shows. We'll have a show this coming Saturday night after the GSP Diaz UFC pay-per-view. We'll have another one tonight after the TNA Lockdown pay-per-view. Obviously tomorrow night after Raw as well, and tons of shows. If you head over to WrestlingObserver.com, you can scroll down the right-hand side of the page, a listing of our latest 3 free radio shows. Obviously, you know what they're like if you're listening to this, but you can get a sample of the other ones on the right-hand side of WrestlingObserver.com. If you like what you hear, sign up. $10.99 gets you full access for a month, and by full access, I mean every radio show that we do, you get access to. You can hear tonight's show, tomorrow's shows, all of the different radio programs that we provide, plus access to every radio show that we have ever done. You get full access to our archives. Tens of thousands of hours of audio are available in the archives right now. If you head up there and check that out, we got the Wrestling Observer newsletter and Figure Four Weekly as well. There's literally so much stuff up there. I mean, no way in a month you could go through all of it. No way in a year you could go through all of it. It would take years to get through everything on the website. But hey, you can try. I've had people sign up and go through every single radio show starting from day one. These are crazy people, but they do it. You can join them. $10.95 a month. Give it a shot for a month. If you don't like it, you never have to sign up again. But the majority of people that give it a shot, they're here for the long haul, because if you like this show, you'll love the website. That's the bottom line, as Stone Cold Steve Austin used to say. We got a lot of news to get into today, as noted. This coming Saturday. What was that?
He's been on the show.
He has been on the show. Paul Bearer's been on the show. Steve Austin, Bret Hart, Ric Flair, Kurt Angle's been on the show. The biggest names in wrestling and mixed martial arts have been on Wrestling Observer Radio and Figure Four Daily, and those are all up in the archives right now. There's an easy search function. Search for the name, all the shows come up. Couldn't be easier. So check out some of those shows. Mike, this coming Saturday night, Diaz GSP, did you watch the conference call last week?
No, I did have a chance to see the wrap up. I'm glad I didn't have a chance to see the conference, to hear the conference call, because I was at work, and I can only imagine how low I could have turned that down to not let Nick Diaz go across my workspace. But I know people hate a lot of Nick Diaz, and I know a lot of people hate the sensationalism that takes place in building up a fight. And a lot of people get annoyed, and you know, the mainstream sports fan and the general public, where they just think everything's a put on, and it's all worked. And so many times in UFC, there's been too many times where guys have come out afterwards and said, well, you know, this is what I got to do to promote a fight. I'm just playing, man. You know, Floyd Mayweather will do that lots of times too. Now this one's pretty real, and again, the whole build up to it, and just Nick Diaz. I know people hate him, but if you have one guy like that, it's not too bad for the sport. You know, he's more self destructive than he is hurting the general public or anything like that. Even though he can hurt your business, but when you have one of those guys, and you have a fight like this that you've been, you know, a lot of people have been waiting for a long, long time. It's great. It's right on a silver platter with all the ups and downs that they've had with it, with injuries, with Nick Diaz being Nick Diaz, with him losing to Carlos Condit. For us to finally get it now, it's going to probably turn out to be a really good thing.
Yeah, this fight's been years in the making. Nick Diaz, I'm sure, is a completely rational, level-headed individual, but he comes across as a crazy man. And
just, when people yell out the window at him that he's going to get beat up.
In his hometown, he's yelled at by little old ladies that think that he's a punk. He's sick of it. He's just sick of it. And he's going to go whoop up on George St. Pierre, he claims. I don't think so. I could be wrong, but I would expect GSP to beat him. Kind of actually probably in the same way as that Ben Henderson Nate Diaz fight. I expect it to be similar, and then I expect Nick to cry about all the wrestling and mixed martial arts, how it's not fair, and hopefully not fail his drug test. What are your thoughts?
I give Nick Diaz more of a chance than you. I've always been borderline on picking him, but it's really hard to bet against George St. Pierre until he loses, and it's really hard to think that someone, even if someone as talented as Diaz, is going to be able to just stop the takedowns and to deal with St. Pierre. And I know that obviously Diaz is good on the ground and his jiu-jitsu is far better than George St. Pierre's. With that said, you know, St. Pierre's, you know, again, he can talk about the takedowns and the stifling style and all that sort of stuff. It's very, very effective. The same way his what look to be pitter-pat punches are very effective as well. You know, that just, you know, onslaught that he just keeps going over and over again. And George St. Pierre, you know, again, ticking in his favor, you don't think about mental lapses too often when it comes to GSP. And Diaz, even though, again, his style is great and it's effective and you actually have to go out there and stop him, you know, GSP is probably best in tune to go out there and stop him. Forget about the fact that Condit had just done it before.
-500. That is the betting lines here. I think Diaz is +450. GSP -500. Those are long odds for a title match, Mike.
Yeah, well, that's one of those ones where if you have $100 that you can bet, you take the money line on Nick Diaz, you know, because he is that talented and because he is, again, this isn't to me like, I don't know, I like Diaz, and maybe I like him too much, but I think if you had an extra $100 at 450, you might as well put it up there, or if you have $50 to see if you win 225. You know, that's not a bad deal. You know, what I think is a bad deal would be putting 500 on George St. Pierre to win 100. That's just the fight you walk away from and don't even, you know, a line you don't even touch to me.
So that fight actually is taking place. There had been discussions here and there by Dana White of threatening to pull Diaz for being Nick Diaz. And Johnny Hendricks could have slid right into the spot. But it looks like instead it's Johnny Hendricks and Carlos Condit. And if Johnny Hendricks wins and GSP wins, then that's the next championship match. And do you expect Johnny Hendricks to beat Carlos Condit? That's a tough fight.
That's another one I keep going back and forth on. And I'm not real sure. I want to say yes. I really, really do. But, you know, Condit can stifle Hendricks too, and he's, you know, he's bigger, he's got a longer reach, and, you know, they both have good left hands. Obviously, Hendricks' left hand is proven to be, you know, much more effective, especially here recently. But, again, can I don't know if he can actually, again, I love Hendricks too because he's a wrestler and his wrestling is very good, but Condit's got a reach on him. I don't think he's going to get drawn in that way. Or to obviously, you know, Hendricks has got his thing now. I know he's going to, you know, do his best to stay away from it. With the wrestling, with the knees, I'm apt to go Condit here again because, you know, it's not like he had GSP in, you know, serious major epic trouble or anything like that, but that was a really good fight. And again, you know, Condit's been on a roll. He's been on the top of his game. And I think, again, I'm leaning a little bit more towards Condit than Hendricks, but again, it could go either way. This is a really good show for fights like that, especially, you know, the top three, which all kind of fit in with this. Basically, you know, it's almost like a elimination 170-pound tournament.
And the third, I guess, what do they call it? The semi main, Jake Ellenberger, Nate Marquardt. Any thoughts on that fight?
Yeah, I think they just call it third from the top. But
third from the top.
Yes. Ellenberger.
Let me ask you this, Mike. Let me ask you this. Let me stop you.
Yeah.
Is it just my pet peeve, or do you get infuriated when people refer to a round as anything but a round?
Do they?
When I hear the third frame or the third stanza.
No, period, frame. No.
I want to shoot my screen with a firearm. Yeah, it's around.
That stance is fine. I'm used to that in boxing, you know. But you don't need a thesaurus to break out and bust out a bunch of words. Just call it what it is. It's around. All right.
This ain't Shakespeare. It ain't a stanza. This isn't a Nostradamus prophecy. It's around.
Jesus, people.
Yeah, that really bothers me. But go on. I've got my hatred out.
This could be an end stanza for Nate Marquardt if he loses this fight, which I believe.
I'm going to kick your ass at Mania next year for that one, Mike.
I believe he will. And you know what? We can hang out with Jake Ellenberger, who actually had some great merchandise with the Fleur de Lis on it when he fought in New Orleans when I saw him there about 2 years ago now. But knocked out Jake Shields in short order. And I don't think he's going to do the same thing with Nate Marquardt, but I think he's going to beat Nate Marquardt and probably. Frankly, Marquardt will probably be out of the UFC again. They're making all of these cuts, and they're not keeping guys around for too long. And it's nothing against Marquardt, but realistically, he's never going to be a top contender, I don't believe. And especially if he goes out there and loses to Ellenberger, who is a top 10 guy, that's probably going to be the end of him. So really a huge must-win fight if you are Nate Marquardt. And Jake Ellenberger, if he loses, which I don't think he will, I don't think he's got any problem whatsoever. He's safe.
Now we've got the pay-per-view coming up in May, the Memorial Day show, which was originally going to be Junior Dos Santos and Alistair Overeem, I guess, for a championship match. Overeem has injured his quad. He is off the show. Very, very strange situation. Mark Hunt asked for the fight. Dana White then announced that they were still going to do Overeem versus Dos Santos, but they were going to do that fight in July or wherever when Overeem was better. Then fans got upset on Twitter, and Dana claimed that Mark Hunt had, in fact, turned down the fight. Mark Hunt then went on Twitter and said, "Not only did I not turn down this fight, I have never turned down a fight." Dana then apparently talked to Mark Hunt whatever the phrase is, lo and behold, now it is, in fact, Mark Hunt against Junior Dos Santos at that show. I don't know what that means for Overeem. What are your thoughts on Hunt and Dos Santos?
I never, ever, ever, when he was basically doing seated drops, Samoan drops on the face of Wanderlei Silva, that I ever think Mark Hunt would be in line for a UFC championship fight if he went ahead and won that fight. But, people like Mark Hunt. People will pay to see Mark Hunt. He's got that granite head. He's looked a lot better in his UFC appearances where, you know, he's not a laughing stock or anything like that. Even though I don't think people, you know, thought of him as a title contender, a lot of people didn't think of him as a top, you know, five guy, much less, you know, even a top 10 guy, for God's sake. So, you know, it's, you might as well go ahead and take advantage of it. And again, what else are you going to do? You got Cain and Antonio Silva coming up, you know, Overeem's hurt. You know, Roy Nelson, Roy Nelson's coming up fighting here in Newark. Coming up soon. So, I mean, what else are you going to do? And I'm not sure who else is – I forget who else is in the heavyweight division off the top of my head right now. But, you know, what else are you supposed to do? You might as well take advantage of it.
Well, the fight's coming up, and I don't think Junior Dos Santos is dumb enough to stand in range of Mark Hunt and just trade. Maybe he is, but I guess we'll see. I think there's a little bit of overestimation of Mark Hunt, but you never know. The man has the power to knock out anybody, and everybody makes mistakes, and anybody can be beat. So who knows? Mark Hunt, he may be next in line for a championship match after May. Wouldn't that be something? We're going to head to a break. When we come back, time to wrap up the show. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are, of course, here every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Sirius 794 is available as well, as is the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. Check that out. You can always hear the great Sports Byline programming, including this show, archives of this show, and more. And, Mike, tomorrow is Raw. We've got about 3 shows left until WrestleMania, and looks like no Rock on the show. The Brock Lesnar is going to be there. Yes, I called him the Brock Lesnar. There's only one. And if you notice, with the exception of one show, which I think is coming up the day before, the final Raw before WrestleMania, I think they're both going to be there. But for financial reasons and otherwise, they've been very careful not to have Rock and Brock Lesnar on the same show. Because next year, Mike, when you go to WrestleMania, that's the plan. The Rock versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. Are you excited for that potential battle?
Actually, yeah. I mean, really, they had the one match where they actually had the training vignettes leading up to it. Remember that?
That was a great build.
It was fantastic. And again, it'll be the same way with both of them, even, you know, bigger and more refined than they were before. I think that's a great idea. And look, for short term right now, forget it, even long term. Just because, you know, why, when you have that kind of star power that actually means something, there's no reason to have them both on the same show. It's better to keep alternating. So it's smart in the short run and the long run. And, yeah, it is an exciting possibility, and it could be, you know, with that matchup, biggest WrestleMania ever.
Yeah, they may be breaking the record every year from this point, although it may be hard to break this year. Going from the New York market to the New Orleans market, they may fall just short of this year, but who knows? That's a big match. We are out of time, everybody. Lockdown starting in just a moment. Dave Meltzer and I up later on tonight, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. We're going to be doing live running play-by-play on the front page, and then Dave and I talking the show on the radio tonight at WrestlingObserver.com. So thanks, Mike. Thanks, everybody at Sports Byline. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you again next week. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.